Glad to see everybody in the church. Not everybody is here, but you are here, and thank God for that. It's a special weekend that we are celebrating our nation's Independence Day. And we are thankful for the freedom we are experiencing. Not a little thing, it's a big thing. We may not realize it, but if you do some traveling in overseas and then you come back to the United States, you see the difference. And if you have a chance to do that, please do that and go to directions in this world that are quite a bit different, then you can appreciate what you have here. In our scripture readings this morning, actually all of them are after one thing. It is righteousness of God, and we are all being called to spread it. Biblical righteousness and biblical holiness as well. Now in our gospel reading, Jesus says, look around, the harvest is ready, and it's plenty, but workers are few. So what he's asking us to do, to pray to the master of the harvest, to send more workers in the harvest. Now, I've been reading this through like you many, many, many times. And I have come to a conclusion that yes, Jesus is asking us to pray for more ministers, preachers and evangelists and missionaries and you name it, Bible teachers. But these words are for us all. For his church and congregations, for us to become really workers for his kingdom, to spread biblical righteousness and biblical holiness. And that's our calling. My first sermon under appointment here in the United States took place in Taylorsville, Kentucky. And it was July, 4th of July weekend. It may have been that Sunday that was Independence Day. Back in Helsinki, as we were getting ready to travel, working on thousands of different things, so my bishop called me, Hans Bexby, called me, and he reminded me about a couple of things. May have been more than two things, really, but he said, Timo, remember that weekend is going to be very special when you preach your first sermon. I said, yeah, I already noticed. It's the first Sunday of the month, and it's a communion Sunday. He said, yes, and then it is also U.S. Independence Day weekend. It is 4th of July, and I don't want to say that I totally forgot it, but yet I forgot it. I was trying to grasp what 4th of July means, but then I went back to school in my thoughts, and I remember, yeah, it is U.S. Independence Day. So I thought that it's going to be a very special first Sunday for me to be a celebrant for the communion for the church and then to preach in the U.S. Independence Day Sunday service. Just being in the country 3-4 days before that, arriving to country 3-4 days before that. So I preached my sermon and served the church. And Preston Jeffers, who is a godly man, and the whole family, Jeffers family is a big family there. He has low voice, he's a Sunday school teacher, and he still may be their Sunday school teacher, one of the Sunday schools. He said, Reverend Timo is one of the best Independence Day sermons I've ever heard in my life. I knew it probably wasn't, but it told about that congregation, how they wanted to encourage their preacher who was just after landing in the United States. But me and Serba, I don't know how she feels, but I had never felt to be an immigrant in this country. I don't know why, but I haven't. Because I am, because I came from overseas 27 years ago. We were several years permanent residents. On permanent residence card, they call it green card at first. Actually, we came over here on a special visa for religious workers, R1. We were supposed to go back right after I get my studies done at Asbury. We're still here. And So we became U.S. citizens a long time ago, maybe 15 years ago. So we've been through all that. People have asked me many times that, Timo, what's the difference between the United States and your homeland, your home country? What is better in the United States? And what is better there? So, of course, there are some differences. But here's what I have told, and here's what I'm telling to you this morning, after all these tens of years' experience. There may be little differences here and there, but from my perspective, being a minister and pastor for the church, when you are on the altar rail with somebody, kneeling and praying to your God, asking blessing for this person and all that you can ask, listen, hey, there's no differences. It don't matter. And I've been in different countries in this world. There's no differences, really. People's wishes and hopes, their dreams and prayers are pretty much the same, despite what their skin color might be, their language they speak, or cultural background or ethnicity. People are very much the same, especially, like I said, when you are kneeling on the altar rail and you are talking to God, who is the creator of all people. There's no differences. We all want the same things. We all want the same things. So what could be better day for a church like us to pray for our nation today? I don't know, have we failed to do that every now and then? There won't be a better day than today. And I'm going to list us a prayer list today. It's coming from my heart. You know, I am not a politician. I am a pastor. I don't care about politics at all. I know it's a means to work on things. But praying for the nation involves seeking God's guidance, protection, and blessing for all people, including their leaders at local level, at church level, community level, state level, and national level. But it also includes requests for unity and justice and peace and prosperity for all people. While also when we pray, when we kneel before the Lord, we acknowledge the nation's shortcomings and asking for forgiveness and healing for all those. I think this is what we've been called to do as people of God. And our righteousness, our holiness needs to go beyond these political spectrums and cliques and parties, because we've been called to be God's people. So my question this morning and first point this morning is, aren't we all seeking God's guidance and blessings? I haven't heard anybody ever said through all these years in the ministry saying that I don't really care God's blessings. We all have our dreams and wishes and hopes for ourselves, for our loved ones and families and people that we love dearly. Levi Petrus, who was a senior pastor at Stockholm, Philadelphia Church, I heard him preach one time back in Helsinki. He said, I heard him many times, but one time he said, here's what I have been practicing in my ministry. In their big church, if I sense there's some spiritual weakness, there's something that we are lacking and missing, I research the Bible and preach and I preach and I preach about it. When I preach, I feel how people start responding, not to me, but to the message they are hearing from the Word, because it always comes back with good bringings. But then he said, it is not just the church that needs that, but the nation needs. When we see nationwide some weaknesses and areas that we are not doing so well, we are to take them to the Lord in prayer. And we need to do all we can as a spiritual people and ministers, as you and I are ministers You are in your field, I am in my field. And disciples, to make sure that people hear God's will and word about that. So are we praying for our leaders to have wisdom? Are we praying up for our leaders at any level? Are we praying for them for discernment and integrity in their decisions? Or are we just complaining if they don't show up as we wish and we hope? Are we asking for God's blessings on the nation's economy, education system, healthcare, and other vital areas in every country, in the United States including? Or are we just joining one of these political parties or cliques to voice our opinion and then we get stuck there and we never do anything else? You know, biblical righteousness goes beyond these barriers. They go after God's will and after people behind these political schemes. Seeking God's protection from harm, both internal and external threats. That belongs to us, friends. We include all these in our prayers. Instead of taking sides on their side, on their side, we need to take sides on God's side every time. Praying for the spiritual well-being of the people and all the people in the United States. All the people, not just those who are with me or thinking like me or looking like me. But all the people, remember, on the altar rail, we all look the same. We have same hopes and wishes, fears and concerns and disappointments and worries. We all the same. And we pray that they would turn, we all would turn to God and live according to His will. This is what godly, independent people do. What about when we pray, you and I, when we pray as a church of Berea UMC, are we addressing national challenges? You say, Timo, I don't want to be a political person. I am not. I'm the last one being one. But when we pray, we are to address some challenges and worries that we are dealing with. Praying for reconciliation and unity in the face of divisions and conflict. That's what righteous people do. Instead of taking sides on their side or on their side, you're on God's side. That's a righteous way to do it. And you pray and you take your worries and concerns to God, who is almighty and powerful. Asking for justice and fairness for all citizens, regardless of their background or circumstances or skin color or ethnicity. Actually, I don't like it that we divide people based on their ethnicity. When you fill out your paperwork somewhere, there's a long list of what ethnicity you are coming from. Don't tell this to anybody, but I don't like it. Let's keep this secret. Your pastor don't like it. I don't like it at all. I don't like it at all. So when we pray for our nation, we pray for matters, we need to go beyond what we see. We need to take God's side, be it righteous people and holy people, seeking God's intervention to heal the nation from social ills like poverty, crime, and substance abuse. I listened to one of the authorities giving information about how many fatal overdoses we have in Madison County every month. I don't want to publish it because I think I misheard it. It was so big number. Boys and girls, youngsters, men and women, moms and dads, elderly people. It's terrible. We are to pray for all these. We are to pray for those who are helping, counseling, providing means to get people out of this trap. It's a scary thing. It's an awful thing. Praying for those who are suffering here in the United States. We have those who are suffering. You don't may not know nothing about it. We have people here who are suffering, including the vulnerable, marginalized, and those affected by natural disasters or other crises we are dealing with. Did you know that here in Kentucky, we have 45 tornadoes this year already? And how many people got killed, young and old? I went with Bob Schaefer, we went to London, Kentucky, 2-3 weeks ago to witness that disastrous scene. When one of these tornadoes has wiped out one whole community, subdivision, steady homes and houses. We talk to people there and they are waiting for insurance settlement to come so they can start building up. 12 people died from that community. It's awful. Or you've been watching or hearing news from Texas, Kerrisville or something like that, Kerrisville, Central Texas. The whole campground were wiped out by flood that hit between 3 and 4 a.m. How many children got killed? 27 still missing, am I right? Some unbelievable number. People were there with the RVs and campers and getting ready for big holiday weekend. It was a children's camp. And this flood came out of flu and wiped everything out. These are disasters beyond our understanding. Are we praying for those people? Are we going to the Lord for them to find peace and new beginnings and help? What about recognizing God's sovereignty as we pray for specific needs of our nation? There are certain needs to pray for our nation that are very specific here in the United States. When we pray, we say, America, my fellow citizens, we need to recognize, we need to acknowledge God as the ultimate source and power and authority. We need to surrender under God because we live under God. We are people under God, am I right? And church, we say when we pray, whether you are with your spouse, with your family, by yourself, you can call upon your church, Berea UMC. We must confess our sins and our nation's sins and ask forgiveness for all those or all those sins I know and all those sins I do not know. And when we pray together for special awakening for our nation, for our church, for our communities, we can't go wrong. When we come together, we do that. We pour our heart to God when we claim His authority over dark things, but we also surrender under His authority and power, and we receive grace, wisdom, and love from Him who cares for us. This is what it means to be American today. Not just taking sides and be done with it. Now we can pray for specific needs that are facing our nation in any given area and in any given time. There are many. If I was to ask you, would say, give me a list right away. Here is, Pastor, what we need to be praying. Here is what worries me. Sometimes keep me awake during nighttime. I see things and I'm so worried. How about praying for economic hardship? How about praying for political polarization or social unrest? They are big issues, friends. But we are called to be a prayer warriors, to spread biblical righteousness and holiness where we see it's missing. People are hurting, they're struggling. We can't turn our backs to them. So praying for specific groups of people, such as families. We've been blessed with wonderful families here at Berea UMC. Don't take it fortunate. It's a wonderful blessing. We've been blessed with children. We've been blessed with elderly. And we've been blessed with those who are serving or been serving in the military. I have a military background because it's mandatory in Finland. It was not voluntary for me, but you have to go, you have to go. So here what I have seen, and sometimes people serving 5 years, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, and when they have done their term, they've been discharged. I have spoken many times on the altar rail with some of these friends, men and women. They say, I felt I did something good and honorable for my nation, but now I feel after being discharged, I'm a second or third class citizen anymore. People don't value at all what I did, what we did. And I gave all I had to this country. That's sad. That's sad. We need to pray for people in the military. We pray for military leaders, God-given wisdom, to do right things. We pray as United Nation and United Congregation, United Methodist Church, and people of the Berea UMC today. And we pray for all the people anywhere and everywhere in this nation. Now, some of you may say, Timo, that's a wonderful idea. I like what you say. And I have a few things for us to pray for today. But then you say, you've been wondering if some of these areas you just mentioned about, Pastor, are already beyond repair. Maybe some areas beyond repair. Too much damage done. Can't bring it back. Here's what I say, and I put my hand on my heart. There's nothing beyond repair for God. Nothing whatsoever. And for righteous people who pray for righteous reasons. Now we've been called to spread righteousness, the biblical righteousness and biblical holiness. And we pray for righteous hearts, for good things to happen. But also leaders that we are not all that pleased all the time, and this may be mildly said, but we pray to God. We ask His righteousness to come. Or we pray for our community leaders. We see some weaknesses here. What righteous people do, they go to the Lord. They go to the Lord, and they act accordingly and righteously by spreading biblical righteousness and holiness. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. There will be more prayers after we have received the sacrament. Amen.